Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about parental rights, the rights of the parents. Society is born within the family, and the family is a man and a woman, because that's how you produce the next society. And in all societies, married men and women who take on the responsibility of being parents, producing the new society, the young coming up is the social welfare of the old. They're the ones who are going to take care of the old when they become old and they need help. It is the wealth of society, and it is produced within the family by one man and one woman. And you can go all across society and you'll find that is the case. That works. Throughout history, that works. Because of that, parents are given special privileges because they have taken on extra work, extra responsibility for society. And now, we've seen an infringement upon those rights. Or at least we think they're an infringement. Are they really an infringement, or have we given up a right? If I went and looked up certain things about parental responsibilities, parental rights, legal rights, lawful rights, natural rights. See, husband and wife are terms of nature. They're not terms of the legal system. If you see them not capitalized, chances are they're referring to someone who is married or took this person for their wife, which in the law means instead of. And that's hard for a lot of people to imagine. They say, well, I don't know what he's talking about. You know, well, that's because you don't read law enough. You should read law more, because law is wording things differently than what you're used to, what you common to you in speech. One of the first things I wrote was Holy Matrimony versus Marriage, and I took it to somebody who wrote law books. I presented it to him, and after thorough investigation, they said I was right. But they're not going to like me. Why? Because I'm bringing light where there's darkness. Cockroaches don't like light. They don't like it. And like we talked about in the last show, they want to destroy that light. They want to take it away. They want to rob you of your attempt to be a righteous people. That's what they want to do. That's how they want to operate. That's the spirit that is in them. If you look it up, it says in the parent-child relationship, which is a domestic relationship, if you looked up in Clark's Summary of U.S. American Law, under domestic relationships, you would see rights of the parent to the child. But you'll find it under two different categories. One is as husband and wife, which is considered one of the great domestic relationships. It's a natural relationship. The rights of the husband, the rights of the wife are based in the law of nature. But then if you go a couple pages down, you'll find another listing of marriage, and it talks about rights of the husband and rights of the wife. It's a different relationship, though. It's a legal relationship. It's not based on the law of nature. The legal binding is based on the law of nature. You accept a benefit, including protection, and now, by the law of nature, you're bound to a legal system. So in the parent-child relationship, parents have some basic rights and responsibilities. Both parents automatically have the right to make decisions about the child's education, religion, health care, and other important concerns. However, it says, a court can take these rights away from a parent if he or she violates the law. What is he talking about, the law? He's talking about statutes. This whole definition is outside of natural law. It's talking about legal rights. Legal is talking about binding. It comes from the word lex legis, meaning to bind. And you bind yourself by abandoning the natural law and creating a social compact whereby your rights are now going to be regulated by somebody else. You call it the courts. The judges of those courts used to be called gods because their rule as the ruling judge of the court interpreted fact and law. It made law. So if you violate the law, they can take your parental rights away. If that's the case, those parental rights are not natural rights. You can't take the law of nature away, but you can take legal rights away. And there you have legal rights because you've covenanted with them. You've contracted with them, and you did that to obtain benefits. It goes on and says, he or she has violated the law, or in the father's case, never claims paternity. A parent can also voluntarily terminate his or her rights. Now, when you terminate your rights, do you sign a voluntary termination of rights contract? Or you just get a marriage license? Well, actually, when you get a marriage license, you terminate some of those rights. You subject yourself to the terms of that contract. Termination of parental rights ends the legal parent-child relationship totally. When you talk about terminates, they're dead. But the voluntary determination, or the termination of some rights happens every day. You put a stranglehold on your right to choose when you make covenants with unbelievers who don't believe in natural rights. They believe in legal rights. They don't believe in natural rights. They don't believe in the light. They believe in darkness. And there's a spirit in them you evidently didn't see. Another place I looked up the word parental rights, and it says generally includes the right to assume legal and physical custody of a child or children. Legal custody, not lawful custody, legal custody. That means custody that's bound to a legal system, and they're going to tell you what rights you have, what rights you don't have. And some ruling judge in a court is going to determine whether that's what you're getting or not getting. Somebody was just talking about a big land grab that took place in Klamath Falls. Suddenly there was a fish that they were worried about that was going to die. And somebody gave a bunch of money to some Indians to fight this. And they went off and were going to fight and control the water so that this little chub fish that's been around for thousands of years wasn't going to die because they were using some of this water for irrigation since World War I, when the veterans came home and built the whole system of aqueducts to irrigate thousands of acres of ground and grow all kinds of fruits and vegetables and crops. And they were told that they would have this land forever if they proved it up, and they did. And their families passed it down from generation to generation. But now somebody was worried about this minnow, and they cut the water off. In beautiful green fields, full of food to sustain society, dried up and became sand dunes. They just blew away. I mean, just literally sand. It looked like the Sahara Desert. You take a picture 1 year, green, lush crops. Next year, Sahara Desert. And the farms were going out of business one after another. Selling their land with no water rights because there was no water rights because the courts had shut it down. And they complained to the court when it was deciding the case and says, we were told that we would have this forever. And the judge said, yes, but how long is forever? Well, a judge will find out someday. As he burns in hell forever. You know, I'm not going to condemn them to hell, but the reality is that they robbed them because a major corporation came in, or a couple of them, probably all tied and linked together, came in and bought these farms up. And suddenly they get the water back. And they're making fortunes on this land. It was just a big land grab. In broad daylight. And all the people went to church and said, praise God. Wrong God, though. Because the real God says you should be attending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And right before your eyes, millions and millions of dollars worth of land was stolen. And the papers barely report it. People barely even cringe at it. And now today, children are being stolen. You didn't care about that guy's land, he's not going to care about your kids. You don't know how to care about each other anymore. You don't know how to come together and attend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. We can show you how to do it. But you got to do it. Kingdom of Heaven is not for the lukewarm. It's for the passionate, the fervent, the dedicated, those who sacrifice daily, support daily the efforts to get the truth out. So anyway, parental rights, a right to assume legal and physical custody of a child or children, rights towards child visitation and contact. Parental rights allows you to visit your children. These are legal rights again. Rights to make decisions regarding medical treatment for the child, but only certain ones. It's legal rights. It's within their control. What control of what? The beast. The right to enter into contracts on behalf of a minor child. Now that's a good one. The sins of the father. Our fathers have eaten unripe grapes and turned our teeth on edge. You know, people can say, well, I never agreed to this bondage and slavery, blah, 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 blah. You know, and at the break, somebody sent me an email. I'll go over that email and see if I can respond to it on this subject. But all the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt because of what their fathers did 400 years before. You see, because the parental right does include contract on behalf of your minor children. The sins of the father will carry over to the sons. So if your fathers have eaten unripe grapes, in other words, eaten grapes before their time, in other words, did not allow them to mature, but actually went into debt, he can curse his children with that debt. And that's why Peter says, through your covetous practices, you would curse your children. The right to pass property to a child through inheritance. But there's an inheritance tax. If there's an inheritance tax in your country, you're not a free people. Because the kingdom of heaven is from generation to generation. If somebody else can say, you can have so only this much of your estate can go to your children, you're not in the kingdom of heaven. Because in the kingdom of heaven, all of your estate can go to your children. Nobody else has a right to it. But if you're bound in a legal system through your contracts, covenants, and constitutions, and you're a subject, not a free person, they can tax you on your inheritance. They can take it all away. So anyway, understanding the difference between parental rights that are natural and parental rights that are legal is very important. So anyway, we're also talking about this, some of these arguments that we see in this case of the German family who fled Germany because they were going to be put in jail for trying to teach their kids at home. And in the German schools, they were teaching them all kinds of superstitious, Wiccan, religious things that the parents didn't approve of. And even though they had a prior right, they had lost that. They had lost it a long time before. Their parents probably lost it to them. I mean, the war against homeschooling in Germany began with Adolf Hitler. It began in earnest with Adolf Hitler. Adolf lost, but the spirit of Adolf is still alive and well in Germany. And it spread to the Scandinavian countries, believe it or not. They have a live and let live policy, but they've carried it too far. They've allowed it to go too far. And they let live those who want them dead. Recently, I guess it was in Norway, I may have it mixed up with Sweden, but I believe it was Norway, where they deported about 600 individuals who had come to the country for asylum or whatever, you know, Muslims, but had criminal records. They were involved in criminal activity, so they withdrew their visas and deported them. Crime went down a huge disproportional amount. These were a major presentation of crime in their country through these people. But in other countries, you can't say anything bad about, you know, that would be racist. It's not about racists. They're criminals. They didn't deport everybody who was a Muslim. They deported everybody who was a Muslim who was a criminal. They can't deport the Norwegians who are criminals. They can only put them in jail. But if you're bringing your criminal activity into the country, that's who you deport. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to bring about justice, because they can make almost anything a crime now. Teaching your kids at home is a crime, so deport every homeschooler. Oh, see, I mean, there's a two-way street here. You know, in this particular case, the argument in essence is that the government isn't violating anyone's rights if homeschooling is banned altogether. Yeah, to me, that is just absolutely outside of logical thinking, except for the fact that I know that they're talking, when they're saying parental rights, they're talking about legal parental rights, not natural rights. You know, like my own father, when he spoke in front of the Bar Association, when he first passed the bar in Texas, he spoke on natural law. And he was told by the head of the Bar Association, never speak about natural law to attorneys again. Attorneys aren't interested in your natural fundamental rights. They're interested in your legal rights, because that's where the money's at. They're not dealing with natural rights. They're dealing with legal rights. They want everybody bound in a legal system so that they can take your rights away if you step out of line. If you don't drink the Kool-Aid, they can punish you. First, they argued that there was no violation of anyone's protected rights. Protection draws subjection, protected. Protection. Protected rights are not inalienable rights. Inalienable rights, you must protect yourself. And you need to gather together with other people who care about your rights as much as you care about theirs, and you protect each other's rights, not as a matter of a duty or obligation of a hired mercenary government, but out of love of neighbor. Loving your neighbor isn't having a good feeling about them when you're sitting in a pew. It's actually caring about them and acting upon that caring. If your baby has a poopy diaper, you have to change it. You can't think about changing it and clean it up. If somebody needs help, you actually have to help them. Thinking good thoughts while you sit in church is not loving your neighbor. It's daydreaming. So anyway, they argued that there was no violation of anyone's protected rights in a law that entirely bans homeschooling. There would only be a problem if Germany banned homeschooling for some, but permitted it for others, which of course they do. They ban homeschooling for anybody who's not a gypsy. But of course now a gypsy has a completely different lifestyle than your average German. But they don't ban homeschooling for them. If you don't want to own a home, you want to travel from place to place, you don't want to be a part of society, you don't have to homeschool your kids. I mean, you can homeschool your kids, you don't have to send them to public school. Now, in reality, Germany does permit, like it says in the article, some of these people to homeschool, but it is rare. And in general, Germany does ban homeschooling broadly across the board. But like I said, they'll allow gypsies to do that. This one article goes on to say there are two major portions of constitutional rights of citizens, fundamental liberties and equal protection. As soon as somebody starts talking about constitutional rights, you're talking about legal rights. Because the Constitution granted no rights to the individual. Absolutely not. It recognized that there were certain inalienable rights, and there was this law of nature, nature's God. But it didn't grant rights to anybody. So if you're talking about my constitutional rights, what is that? That's not something you had. You weren't born with constitutional rights. You had to join something to get constitutional rights. Fundamental liberties and equal protection, they say. Fundamental liberties within this social compact, not within the law of nature. The social compact is a departure. You go read on our wiki site. Social compact is a departure from natural law. At that time, the U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder has said this about homeschooling, that there is no fundamental liberty to homeschool. So long as the government bans homeschooling broadly and equally, there is no violation of your rights. What rights? Those legal rights. There is a violation of your natural rights or your prior right. Unless, of course, you have voluntarily given up that prior right. How do you do that? The greatest destroyers of liberty are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. If you have accepted a benefit, free education, free health care, unemployment insurance, or to get unemployment insurance, you have to go get an employee identification number. That's a benefit. Social Security is a benefit. To get the Social Security number is a benefit. That's a reward. You've entered in. It proves that you're a part of. Constitutional rights of citizens, fundamental liberties, and equal protection. The U.S. Attorney General has said this about homeschooling. He's talking about legal rights. This view gives some acknowledgement to the principle of equal protection, but which entirely jettisons the concept of fundamental liberties. It doesn't jettison it. It's just not talking about fundamental liberties. It's because it's not talking about natural rights. This is in a Wind article. And so Ferris, who noted that the Department of Justice's second argument was that the Romikis failed to show there was a discrimination based on religion, since not all homeschooling families are Christians. And not every Christian believes they have to homeschool. Every Christian does, but people who don't understand Christ, who can't be called Christians, although they do call themselves Christians, they don't really know Christ. They're actually workers of iniquity because they've hired men to force their neighbor to pay for their education so that they can say that they have free education, which is coveting your neighbor's goods, which is a violation of even the Ten Commandments. You can't even be a Jew and send your kids to public school because you're not keeping the commandments. You're coveting your neighbor's goods. He goes on to say, this argument demonstrates another form of dangerous group thinking by our own government. The central problem here is that the U.S. government does not understand that religious freedom is an individual right. The average American doesn't understand religious freedom. You don't understand religious freedom if you send your kids to public education. Because public education is a religious concept. It involves a religious concept. Religion is how you perform your duty to God and your fellow man. That's what religion was. It's not what you think about God. It's how you perform your pious duty to God and your fellow man. Providing him with assistance in raising his children is a duty. But you only maintain your right if you do that by free will offerings. If you do it by a contract, you're not free anymore. We'll talk more about this and what you can do to protect your children from home invasion when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. You must become a doer of the word. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. When you go over this Remiki's case, you see a number of different things that keep popping out. And one of the major distinctions is that you have to make a distinction between legal rights and natural rights. They're not the same thing. Natural right is including natural responsibilities. And if you look for protection, especially from an institution, that institution is going to get a right to choose on your behalf. If you create obligations by taking benefits, that's why the greatest destroyers of liberty are those who spread amongst the people gifts, gratuities, and bounties. It just depends on how you translate it. It comes out a little bit different, but it's basically that if you eat at the table of rulers and you don't put a knife to your throat, as it tells you in Proverbs, he serves you deceitful dainties, meats that will bring you back into bondage. Your love of reward, your love of benefit. This is why Jesus says you're not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. they get to exercise that authority is because they are your benefactor. They're your sugar daddy. They're your papa. They're your father. You've called them father. You said, give me free education. I don't care where you get the money. Just give me free education. Give me free health care. Give me protection. Protect me. Protect me. I'll give you my rights to choose my liberty if you protect me. You're going to have neither liberty nor protection because they don't love you. You create offices of power to take away from your neighbor because you don't really love your neighbor. And this is what's going to happen. And Jesus told you, Peter told you, I mean, even go back to Samuel told you. This is the telling you what God is saying. God didn't change. If you go this way and you look for a benefactor who can exercise authority, he's going to end up taking and taking and taking and taking, and you're going to end up with nothing. He's going to, when he's done taking your money and your lands, he's going to take your children. He's going to take your daughters. He's going to take your sons. He's going to storm into your house and he's going to take them out. And what can you do to stop this? Religion is how you take care of the needy of your society. Those people who were looking for asylum, they needed help. But they were looking in the wrong place. They were looking in the wrong direction. In the article, they make a reference to, you know, that religion is a private thing. You don't have to follow, and I quote, dictates of a church. Now, there is not a church, there is the church. Now, how do you know where the church is? Well, the church is established by Jesus Christ for the purposes of his doctrines. So the only dictates of the church, since Jesus said you are not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who exercise authority, the only dictates of the church can be the dictates of Christ. Any other dictates that Christ did not dictate, that the church is dictating, is a bunch of hooey. It's not true. So somebody sent me an email, and I'll have to address that email in order for you to, keep my word, because I said I'd take a look at it during the break. And I started reading it, but I was doing something else at first. I had a call. I have to go take care of an elderly gentleman. I thought I was going to get a break today, but the state worker is not showing up. And so they said they were. So they said that, you know, I was going to go out and tend to sheep and irrigate and all this stuff. But the last minute, they just said that they're not coming. This is going to be the story of everybody's life. The people who say they're going to protect you, when the bull is charging, they're going to say, sorry, not going to protect you. And you're going to get bowled over. Get used to disappointment. You're betting on the wrong horse. You need to start doing it the way Christ said. Start loving one another. So anyway, I got that call during the break, so I didn't get a chance to read this email. But I'm going to read the email. I'm not going to say who it's from, but if he's listening, he'll see it. And I'm going to make comments about what he says, because everything he says, it's misleading. It's going to cause confusion. He says, I think that this is a great argument, referring to this article that I've just been reading from. And the email that I sent out. I think this is a great argument for those whom are subject to the state of a man-made governments. Of man-made governments. Now remember, in Germany, gypsies get to homeschool their kids. You'll find this in Bulgaria, Romania, and a lot of these other countries. There are elements of society that are not members of society, but they live in society. They tried to exterminate them during World War II in Germany, but they are still around. And they get to homeschool their kids. Are they getting the benefits that everybody else are getting, or are they taking care of themselves? Now, I'm not telling everybody to become gypsies, but, I mean, think about it. The question of rights permitted and allowed by their chosen rulers is a fundamental one. After reading this, if you do read it, ask yourself this simple question. Who is my ruler? Now, that is supposedly a simple question, but I know a lot of guys answering, God is my ruler. But I don't see them doing what God said. I don't see them coming together. I don't see them feeding the sheep. I don't see them taking care of one another. I don't see them tending to the weightier matters. I don't see them gathering in the tens, hundreds, and thousands that the church clearly was gathering in. I mean, you had 12 apostles, and you had 120 names in the upper room. Wait a minute. 12 divided by 10. I mean, 12 times 10, 120. Hey, is there a pattern developing there? And the truth is, and we show in the book, Thy Kingdom Come, throughout Europe, throughout North Africa, there was this patterns of 10, hundreds, and thousands. It was used before Christ, it was used after Christ, and it would produce 120 if you had 10 ministers serving 10 each. And you would end up with 120 families, 120 names. Didn't say 120 people, said 120 names. And they went out and baptized thousands of people, which were representing thousands of families. And you know what they did? They divided themselves up into the tens, hundreds, and thousands. Why? And immediately, they had to gather together, pick men they trust, seven of them, and put over the business of daily ministration. What is daily ministration? Take care of the widows and orphans. So if somebody tells you, who is my ruler? You know, my ruler is Jesus Christ. Do they have a daily ministration? Then they're not doing what the early church was doing. Are they gathered together in tens, hundreds, and thousands for the purpose of creating a daily ministration that take care of the needy of their society? The widows and orphans of society? Do they have that? Then their ruler is not Jesus Christ. It's somebody else. Are they feeding the sheep? Well, that's, they're not, their ruler's not Jesus Christ, it's somebody else. Every man and woman has a choice or free will. You do, but you also have the vows of your father. Everybody had a choice in Egypt, but could they just pack up and leave? No. For a while, they had to pay their tally of bricks while they learned something. Why do you think God hardened the heart of the Pharaoh and said, you can't? Don't let them go yet. They're not ready to go. It's because they had to learn what it meant to be ruled by God. They had to learn to take care of one another during fire and brimstone and pestilence and earthquakes and bad water. Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to take care of one another under those conditions? You're going to get a chance to learn. Right now, you should be gathering together in those tens, hundreds, and thousands, organizing yourselves, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you're not taking care of one another with a daily ministration, you're not being ruled by Christ. You're just running off, yelling, I'm free. But you're also naked. And that is undeniable. You have a free will choice, but you have obligations you must fulfill. The question is, he says here, though once you have made a preliminary choice, are you free to change your mind? Choice equals free will choice, he says. What if you first chose a ruler based upon circumstances or situations that have appeared truthful, but afterwards, upon deeper insight, proved to be inaccurate? Did you go to public school? You took the benefit. You know, if you sign up for a contract and you think that, I mean, it's written out, but you don't understand the contract. And then you discover that the contract, you didn't understand it. You're going to have to prove that you didn't understand it. But if you've taken money, if you've taken funds, if you've taken the benefit, you got to pay back everything you took. You can't just leave. You're bound. And if your father's contracted for you, then you're bound by the vows of your father. So you can't just say, oh, fraud, I don't like it, I'm leaving. Doesn't make any sense. You're not following what Christ said. You're not following the whole truth. So you are bound in Egypt. And you may have to pay your tally of bricks. But if you actually follow the ruler Christ, the anointed, you're going to be gathering together, taking care of one another, and even taking care of others outside of your little religious network. That means you're going to have to sacrifice regularly and abundantly, and you're going to have to find ministers who do a good job, and you have to pay attention and watch that they continue to do a good job so that you can build a network based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. You can't be free just because you choose. You have to meet the criteria of freedom. If you want your rights back, you have to take your responsibilities back. You see? You can't just flip-flop around. You have to meet the terms. You have to enter and leave through the gate. You can't just jump over the wall and run for it. After more depth and examination of facts, historical evidence, and a new insight only recently coming to light, you began to realize that what you had previously believed in was not just slightly askew, but completely false. What obligation do I have? You should ask yourself, to your ruler, to your government, to your, or is it yours? He goes on, and I guess he's, to whom do you belong? Well, did you take the benefit? Did your fathers take the benefit? Did they deduct you? You are bound. You can't just unbind yourself. You have to either pay back or get kicked out. Why do you think that Moses had to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go? He actually didn't really have to. They were his people. But he was challenged to do that because the people needed to learn what it meant to be ruled by God. They didn't know how to do that. See, and that's why you are bound. Just like they were bound. Moses didn't come in and say, everybody, let's get our stuff together and run for it. He didn't take the people to the edge of Egypt one at a time and say, run for it, you're free. He taught them how to be ruled by God, how to love their neighbor as themselves, how to take care of them when there's earthquakes and famine and flood and all these things that were coming on Egypt that are coming on you soon. Are you ready? Because it's coming. Now, what do you do about your children? We were talking about that. What was the thing I mentioned way back in the first show on this subject? Identity abuse. You didn't get the mark of the beast for your kid. That's abuse. You know, let me just read the last of this guy's letter. Choose ye this day ye will serve, whether the gods of or the gods of. He didn't finish the statement. But as for me and my household, we will serve. Okay. Is he serving? Or is he just serving himself? Where's his daily ministration? Is he casting his bread upon the waters in hopes that it comes back to him? In other words, is he taking care of the needy in hope that someday they will take care of him? Is he doing it in a real fundamental day-to-day basis? Is he going to help me go down and change colostomy bags this morning? Nah. He's just going to be free. No, I don't know this individual, and like I said, I'm not going to name him. But we have to consider those things. So what can you do? When you get your child born, get a church certificate. Get and base it on witnesses, two or more witnesses establishing. People wanted a church ID. We have church ID, verifiable online. but you want congregational ID. Well, then, did you get a church marriage? Now, you can go get a state marriage if you want the benefit. I don't care. But did you get a church marriage first? Holy matrimony. Did you join with that? Did you certify the birth of your children with the church? The church is one form of government. I mean, that's just the way it is. So you can be not choosing to steal away the identity, but give your child another identity, the character of Christ. Are you doing that? Are you helping ministers do that for others? Because see, you have to care about others as much as you care about yourself. It's not about you. People want to come to church and what do I get out of it? Well, that's not coming in the name of Christ. Coming in the name of Christ is coming in to the church for what you can do for others. Ask not what your God can do for you. Ask rather what you can do for your God. And of course, your God says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's your duty. That's religion. Social welfare is religion. This is where we were talking about private welfare in the last few shows. And I took this side trip because of this, you know, family of 12 that was attacked. This happens on a regular basis. You just don't get into the news on many of these cases. And it's going to happen on more and more. It was happening at the time of Christ. I mentioned this, that there was a law back under Marcus Aurelius that you had to register your child, get a birth certificate for your child within 30 days, had to be registered with at least the local magistrate, and then they would eventually record it with the Bureau of Vital Statistics in Rome at that time, which was at the Temple of Saturn. That's where you registered your births, at the Temple of Saturn. I mean, you also included other public documents there. That was a government temple, government building. We call them temples. We call them pagan temples. They're just government buildings. Christians would not register their children and were getting into trouble with the courts of Marcus Aurelius, who had the worst human rights record of any emperor. He was a benevolent guy. When it came to Christians, he hated them and didn't trust them. Why? Because they did not sign up for his system of welfare. Eventually, in 200 AD, they would outlaw private religion, private welfare. That's what religion was. The daily administration of Christians was outlawed. You had to sign up or get burned alive. That same spirit is growing in the world today. You need to start becoming real Christians, hot Christians, passionate Christians, dedicated Christians, not lukewarm, I believe in Jesus Christians. Actually do what Christ says. Start creating that daily ministration. You're not ready to come out because you haven't started getting into the ways of Christ. And that's why they kept you in Egypt as a people during hard times, that you would learn the ways of God, the perfect law of liberty, the law of sacrifice, laying down your life for one another. You don't know that. You're still playing religion, self-righteous religion. You need to start being the real faithful in the ways of Christ. Really start taking care of one another. And it's going to be a life-changing, lifestyle-changing, habit-changing way to walk in the world. And you better stop wasting time. You better start getting earnest. Stop being the lukewarm. Start really making the choice as to... If you don't have a daily ministration for the widows and orphans in a big way that networks all across the country, I'm not talking about just some local little congregation. I'm talking about everywhere. That you're fundamentally designing your network to be health, education, and welfare in every aspect and identifying you. not robbing the identity of your children, but guaranteeing it through a matter of a record, just like everybody else. All the other governments of the world, but with ministers who don't exercise authority, but depend on faith, hope, and charity. You want to be free, set your neighbor free. You want your neighbor to be free, you're going to have to put your money where your mouth is. You're going to have to start sacrificing, whether it's money or service or whatever it is that you can give. Give. Give and give. And forgive one another for their ideas and their philosophies and their impatience. And start coming together. Someone wrote me from Hollywood the other day and wanted to know what denomination we were. The denomination of His Holy Church is the common denominator of His Holy Church, which is Christ. There is no other denomination. We're just people trying to conform to Christ. Do you want to conform to Christ and do what He said? Then you should be seen doing what the first century church was doing. I don't see that in most cases. It was going to get real hard for the early Christians, real fast, before the first generation was out. And it got hard for years and years to come. Are you ready? You're going to have to start repenting, turning around, confess your sins, repent, and start immersing yourself in the ways of the Holy Spirit. I can't stop you from giving when the Holy Spirit enters into you. I can't stop you from sacrificing when the Holy Spirit enters into you. If I have to remind you to do these things, then you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. You're playing religion. It's time to repent. It's time to get serious about your faith. Start to sacrifice, the daily sacrifice on the stones of the altar of God, so that you love one another. Until then, peace on your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.